Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. What happens when intentional kindness overtakes a community? My guest today has a mission to transform his hometown to be known as the kindest city in Canada. Dave Carroll is a husband and father, a pastor, a writer and speaker, podcaster, broadcaster, and sometimes you can find him in a spandex superhero suit in downtown Brantford. Welcome to the podcast, Dave Carroll.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Yes, I am an adult male. Sometimes I'll ask people how many people in this group wanted to be a superhero when they grew up. And most, I'm going to say 70% of the boys at least put their hand up. And I'm like, that was not me. I didn't read comic books. I'm not an X-Men guy. And yet I'm an adult male who dresses like a superhero semi-regularly. I go, I'm living your dream. Somebody else's dream.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you all about that. How in the world did you get to the spandex superhero suit? But I think I'd like you to paint us a picture a little bit of Brantford, Ontario, 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago.
Yeah, Brantford, it's in the Golden Horseshoe, about an hour outside of Toronto. It was a very industrial city. Massey Ferguson made a large amount of their North American combines here. And then in the 80s, it went belly up in town, and a lot of people lost their jobs. And like a lot of cities that were industrial, when industry blue collar moved out, it really struggled to find its identity and find an economic foothold, and went into a pretty large depression. And when I grew up, I'm a Gen Xer, and the only thing we wanted to do when we grew up in Brantford was get out of here. And I tried. I gave it a valiant effort. I even moved to West Africa for a little while, but something kept drawing me back to my hometown. And when I with my wife, we got married young, and another group of people, we started a church in the downtown. And the church at the time really had been, churches had really stopped digging into community and caring with their hands as well as with your voices. And so we started to go, all right, how can we be instigators of change through kindness inside of our community? And that was now 25 some odd years ago, and included a radio station and church and that sort of thing. But really, it became, Jennifer, an exercise in, if I inject kindness into the business community, what happens there? If we inject kindness into the political spectrum, what happens there? Into the social service world, into street outreach, into higher levels of public discourse. And what we found was anywhere where you injected kindness, good things happened. Things began to grow and change. And our community, not totally just related to us, but what we saw was a collective effort in many of the different people who were the influencers in the community to adopt the idea that kindness matters. Mm-hmm. And we saw different areas and sectors go, how do I subsequently do that? And it's been a beautiful thing to watch.
Wow. So what does Brantford look like now? 20 years of being intentional with kindness, of gathering people from different sectors in the community. People are on board with this mission. What does Brantford look like now?
Well, I'll give you a couple of steps in it. I mean, for about 20 years, we saw a lot of things really, really grow, like a new downtown public square where all sorts of vibrant festivals were happening. In fact, we used to run as a small little church of a winter carnival in the coldest weekend of the year, that we would see like nearly 10%, 15% of the city would come and gather and that sort of thing. And really it was beautiful. And we were things that didn't exist began to exist. And then in these last 5 years, things have changed in our community as well as communities all across North America, with, I think, two things. One was COVID, and then one was the fentanyl and opioid crisis that hit so many cities and urban cores. And some of the things that worked before COVID and before fentanyl opioids, it just didn't work in the same way. And so what we're seeing now is another regroup of different community leaders going, okay, principally, kindness transforms cities. Now, what does it look like in 2025? Because we knew what it looked like 20 years ago now, but how do we take the problems that we have now and inject that same element into it?
That's interesting. So you're looking at the transformation of your city over these 20 years, and I'm guessing you would say the missing link was kindness. Is that fair?
I think so. Yeah, that is fair. In fact, it came to me personally. It started with reading a book called Conspiracy of Kindness by a pastor named Steve Shogren from Cincinnati. Now he's out in the West Coast, and he would do things that we adopted, like something called the $1 car wash, where you would hold up signs to say $1 car wash, and then people would pull in to get, because they're like, that's a pretty good deal for a car wash. And then you hear, here it's a loony, so it's easier. We got a pocket full of loonies up in Canada. So in more than one way. Yeah, and we're like, and then we give the people the loony, and we go, this is for the honor of serving you today. And their brains blow up. Like, because why would somebody give me a dollar and I'll wash my car? And then as they're eating a hot dog in the parking lot, because we've got a barbecue for them too, we begin to talk with them about kindness. And then that loony becomes a charge to them to be able to go and do something reciprocal or something. That's a tricky word right now. But a reciprocal kindness tariff outside in the community. But he would do things like that. And we really was inspired by it. But it hit me when my wife and I were doing like missionary work in West Africa, and we saw a kind of kindness culture that I had never experienced before. And I always say that Canadians, we're not unkind, we're not cold to each other, but we're not in each other's lives purposefully like we used to be. And I think it's a similar situation in the United States. Like, there were eras of life in our continent where if you needed a cup of sugar, it was nothing to go next door and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to get these muffins done if I don't get the sugar. And it would be nothing. But we've sort of lost that. And I came back. It was one of the things that drove me back to my hometown to be able to go, we need to be able to get back to the place where we know each other. We can look each other in the eye, and we can choose to trust one another and be kind to one another. And I do believe that kindness is one of the missing intentional links of how do you take modern day North American life to a place, not back in the past, but to where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I have to ask you this because—
Please. Yeah.
When I was doing a little bit of research on you, I learned that you and your wife moved to West Africa when you were in your early 20s, and you wanted to make a difference in the world. That was the whole point, right?
Yeah.
I also did the same thing, Dave.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah.
I was in Mali, in the country of Mali, for a summer by myself. And my question to you is, why do you think we do that? Why do you think it's— and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but why do you think it's easier for us to think of making a difference somewhere else than in our own hometowns where we're living, where we see the need every day?
It's such a good question. And I think there's probably lots of different reasons. There are, I think, some in the missionary world, some traditional different church reasons. But here's the thing, I think, where we have found a disconnect. People would go to Africa for years to be able to dig wells and build buildings. They'd send teenagers with no building ability to go and build a school for people and then dig some wells, when really what needed to happen was people to help stir the economy in different places to be able to have a self-sustaining economy. But the high school students on mission trips aren't the ones who are going to be able to do it. So to me, where the disconnect started to happen is we stopped looking to do practical things. Those who wanted to see positive change in our cities, we started looking elsewhere because of everything looked more structurally unsound, and we stopped really looking at what the tangible needs in our own communities are. And this is not a Canada first, America first mindset. It's not. But to be able to actually serve your neighbors, to love your neighbors, as yourself, and to be ready to give. Like, honestly, what we realized was, it wasn't even the amount you gave. Like, that $1, it was nothing. And like, I often look for products and things that I have what I call the kindness factor. Like, our logo for our kindness project is a balloon, because a balloon costs almost nothing. But if you walk into a room and you see a balloon, you go, "Oh, hey, a balloon!" And something changes in people's demeanor when there's a balloon in the room. It means nothing, but it's a little gesture and a reminder of something light and fun. It's far from frivolous. It's genuine and real, and sparks ripples of kindness and genuine productivity. Like, we had we once had a hot sauce store. A guy ran a little mom and pop hot sauce shop, and he called us up, and he's this gruff dude, and he's like, "Hey, I read about your kindness thing, your Captain Kindness thing you do." I go, "What can I do?" And we said, "Well, I don't know. What do you like to do?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know. I mean, we're a hot sauce store, so we could get coats. Can we get coats and give away coats?" Hmm. We said, "Sure, we'll help you do that." And he ran what turned into the most successful winter coat drive that our city had ever seen. And he made sure every shelter had enough coats, because it was a little gimmick with his hot sauce. The idea of how do I use kindness hit, and a practical need was filled, and it was a win for everyone. And so looking inside our communities and go, what are the needs? How do I serve you? Like, that was that's how things kind of went from small to larger for us, is we just kept going, all right, how do we serve you? When I said the city built a new public square, we went to the Parks and Rec department and said, "Hey, this is great. We really want this to succeed. How do we help you at your job? How do we help you be the hero?" And they said, "Well, you know, what if we put some programming down there? Could you help put on a winter carnival?" And we said, "Sure, we'll do that." And then we Googled, what is a winter carnival? And
and how in the world do you put one on?
yeah. Said, "Sure, we'll do that. I'm sure we can figure this out." And then we just did. And it turned into relationship and trust and ripples of good. And it works. It really does. But we need to be aware of our community and not be overwhelmed by the problems, and not be overwhelmed by things that we can't figure out ways to be able to get from one place to another. But the little stuff really, really is the big stuff.
It is. It is. So tell us a little bit about the Kindness Project and how you ended up in a superhero suit.
Well, our Kindness Project is really, it's not even a real thing. It's just what we called this, the idea of a movement of looking for ways to be able to do kindness. Like you said, my alter ego is Captain Kindness. Now, the older, fatter, and grayer that I get, the less I want to see myself in this leotard, full disclosure. But for a lot of years, so what happened was, we were doing some kind of kindness thing on the street, and people weren't coming by, and one of our crew just said, "Hey, we should have a mascot." And the theme in the Brantford Santa Claus parade that year was superheroes, and, you know, find a Christmas superhero. And without thinking much about it, we're just like, all right, well, let's put Dave in a leotard and stick him up on a flatbed truck, and we'll call him Captain Kindness. And then that'll be that. Like, that was the amount of strategic thought that went into this. And we got a Mr. Incredible costume that we adapted and put a little crest on. And I stood on top of the float and I went, "Brantford, do you believe that Brantford can be the kindest city in Canada?" With a big goofy voice. And I did it the whole duration of the parade. We won the award for the best float in the Santa Claus parade.
Oh, wow.
And then I started to get calls and go, "Can Captain Kindness come to my school? Can Captain Kindness cut the ribbon on my fish and chip stand?" Like, all of these different things, to the point, Jennifer, that the next year at Christmas, I was lighting the city Christmas tree with the mayor and Santa Claus, and me as Captain Kindness.
You're up there with Santa Claus?
And I said to myself, I always figured I'd be on this stage someday, but I did not think it would be in a leotard. But this this character, like, he would MC our candidate First of July celebrations for the city. I was eventually awarded a medal from the Queen of England for service to the nation, for this ridiculous character. I've been on national TV. I've had other Captain Kindnesses ripple. There's Captain Kindnesses in different places in Canada and the States. And honest to goodness, the thing is that I played it like a Looney Tunes cartoon, where it was fun enough for kids, but I also spoke a little hidden language for adults because I wanted adults to be able to think about it too. And it was just foolish enough for adults to be disarmed because it wasn't a beating over the head message. It was a silly thing that made people's brains start to go, as well as enough down on the ground that I would get invited into classrooms and kids would share with me. I get to talk with them about how they have goodness inside of them and how let them see how they can be kind inside of their homes, where a lot of them were suffering. I've had some heartbreaking discussions with kids who for whatever reason, the character is disarming. It's arming to some, alarming to some, but others it's disarming enough that they start telling you like secrets and about things that are going on in their home, and get to, you know, whisper little affirmations to them about, you know, guarding their heart, but being kind and finding ways to be kind inside their home and inside a community that they can feel like they don't have any control over. But being kind changes little circles of the culture that they live in. And so it's just been this bizarre and abnormally effective idea that we didn't do on purpose, but the reason why we did it, we did absolutely on purpose. But you never know what little thing that you're going to do is going to catch or mean something more that you just didn't see coming.
Yeah. Dave, you tell a story about an evening that you were doing what you called Flipping Fridays, where you would serve meat, you'd grill up stuff, barbecue downtown when you first started this whole kindness project. And you tell a story of two gentlemen who approached you in an alley when you were barbecuing. Can you tell us that story?
I sure can. Partial trigger warnings ahead, but it really was our first foray. Our church was an old bar in the downtown that we bought, and the people that were in the neighborhood at the time, it was junkies, it was prostitution and pimps, and it was a bad scene. But they were only out at night, and so we're like, well, all right, if that's when our neighbors are out, then that's when we'll be out. And so we bought, you know, the cheapest chicken dogs that we could find and bad pre-cooked hamburgers, not even good stuff, and we would set up a grill and just yell free burgers into the midnight sky. And we did it week after week, and we started to build trust and rapport with the neighbors, and many built relationships with, and found ways to be able to get them into different rehab programs and that kind of thing. It's beautiful. And one night it was raining and sort of everything had moved inside, but I was standing out in this alleyway over an overhang grilling by myself, which was a terrible idea. And these two shadows came out towards me, and the one guy goes, the little guy looks at me and goes, "You got to watch out for this big guy. He just, and he did something crazy. He had just done something unhinged." And I went, "Oh, okay." And then the next thing I know, the big guy is sticking a knife in my face, and he said, "Do you want to die?" And I thought, I've always wondered what I would say if somebody stuck a knife in my face and said that. And the only thing I could think of was humor. And so I looked at it and go, that's the only weapon I have. And so I look at it and go, "No, do you want a burger?" And the guy goes, "Yeah." And he stumbles inside. Phew. Yeah, that is the best possible scenario for how that could have gone. So the little guy starts pouring out his heart, and he's like, "What am I doing with this maniac? I shouldn't be out here. My life is..." And, you know, I chatted with them and I prayed with them, and I said, "Hey, listen, you stumbled into our little kindness trap for a reason. You have good things inside of you." And I said, I'm going to give you a text tomorrow morning, and I'm going to see how you're doing." Soon after, the big guy came out, and they grab a little guy and off they go. I texted the little guy the next day and I said, "Hey, I don't know if you remember me from last night, but just want to check up on you." And he goes, "You know what? Last night when we left your barbecue, we went down the street and the big guy stabbed a man almost to death, and he's in jail today. But the truth is that it was me who was planning on going to do that tonight. Whoa. I was planning on stabbing that guy." And he said, "I'm home safe and my life has changed. And the other guy has gone on." And he showed up at our church the next day and we built a relationship with him. He got his life right. And the follow-up to the story that wouldn't have been on the TED Talk that you saw was it was about 6 months ago. He moved out to Calgary, Alberta. I knew that he was working in the oil fields, had a life. He said, for some reason, I popped into his head and I had written something on Instagram and he shared the rest of the story that his life has never been the same. And he's known since that day that he was valued and he had purpose. And he showed me pictures of his kids. And he said, I've never forgotten that day. It was the most significant thing that's ever happened to me. And it was just through a hot dog. Wow. Like, it's powerful. It's a real tangible thing. It's an ethereal idea, but kindness is actually something good that you do out of something good that you are. Like, there's has to be an act to it. Like, other stuff is good. Encouragement's good, but kindness is some tangible act. There's a visceralness to it. And I don't know why it's so impactful. I have some hunches, but it genuinely is. And I just can't get enough.
That's amazing.
Right.
I love that follow-up story. And also, it's such a reminder that we have no idea the ramifications of our small acts of kindness. We have no clue how that's going to affect someone's entire life. That's awesome. Just a hot dog.
Yeah. Right.
Literally offering life or death. You get a choice, you know?
Yeah.
And wow.
A hot dog is a pretty good exchange for some guy's life, right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty solid deal. I'll take that deal.
Yeah, any day. All right, we're going to wrap up here. I would love to keep talking for a long, long time. You mentioned earlier that kindness has a ripple effect, and I wholeheartedly believe that. What do you think the ripple effect of human kindness looks like in a community, and how do our listeners jump in and get involved?
The first thing that pops into my head is find people who are the leaders in your community and write them an encouragement card. Send them a message of encouragement, or bring them something. Bring cookies to your government representative's office, because they get a lot of anger put towards them. And these are the people that are at the top attempting to be able to live a life of service. And they get yelled at. They get called horrendous things. And I'd say everyone is under-encouraged all the time.
For sure.
So if you're looking for a step, especially if you don't like your local government representative, send them something, make them cookies. That will do that'll do something good in your heart and theirs. And it's meaningful, and it's a good way. Just do something. Find somebody in your life and go, I'd like to do something for them. It's just how it starts.
That's an easy action step. And then
right?
The ripple effect happens after that. You know, you never know what that recipient is going to do because of that small act of being seen and cared for and valued. It's bringing
or what it does in your brain or what it does in our own brain. To be able to take that step and go, I'm going to go just from thinking that this is a good idea to actually doing something, because that it's exponential in your own life, because then you start thinking about it again. You say, oh, well, that was neat. What else could I do?
Yeah. And then that becomes the default rather than selfishness or inaction.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is contagious for sure.
Yeah. It's a real thing.
That's awesome. Dave, if people want to learn more about the Kindness Project or your church, Freedom House Church, or Captain Kindness, maybe you want some more inspiration, how do they find you online?
Sure. My name's Dave Carroll, 2 R's 1 L. You can find me on wherever the socials are, I'm there. And then church is called Freedom House in Brantford, Ontario, freedomhouse.ca. I also have a podcast called Two Wise Fools with my friend Aaron White from Vancouver, where it's 80% trying to make each other laugh and 20% trying to inspire each other, inspire people into community transformation. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for being here today, Dave.
Truly my pleasure.
You've said before that if you want influence, then you have to have involvement.
Correct.
And you're living those words. You're not just hoping for change in your community, but you're being the change. And it's really inspiring. And I'm so thankful there are people like you willing to be in a superhero suit and make a difference in your world. So thanks for being with us.
Listen, there's a new Captain America, so I'm taking auditions for the new Captain Kindness.
Listen up, everybody. Dave Carroll.
Thanks, Jennifer.
See ya. Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. It's a great way to help others discover the podcast and be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, keep an eye out for human kindness at work in your world. Whether it's big or small, it all matters. See you next time.